His divine graces, he bhakti vedanta swami chira prabhupada ki, ananta koti vaishnava rinda ki, granta raj shrimad bhagavatam ki, gaur pima. No school. Fantastic. When does school resume? Next week? Canto 3, chapter 24, text 42. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vartam sa astato maunam. Text 42, chapter 24, canto 3. Vratam sa astito maunam. Atmaika sharano munihi.
Atmaika sharano munihi.
Niksango vyacharat shonim.
Niksango vyacharat shonim.
Anagnir aniketana. Ratamsa astito maunam. Atmaika sharano munihi.
Atmaika sharano
munihi. Niksango vyacharat shonim. Anagnir aniketanaha.
Satam sa astito maunam. Atmaika sharano munihi. Nisango vyacharat shomim. Anagni aniketanaha.
Ratam vau. Saha hi kardama. Astitaha. Accepted. Maunam. Silence. Atma. By the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eka. Exclusively. Sharanaha.
Being sheltered.
Munihi. The sage. Niksangaha.
Without association.
Vyacharat.
He traveled.
Shonim.
The earth.
Anagni.
Without fire.
Aniketanaha.
Without shelter.
Translation, the sage Kardama accepted silence as a vow in order to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take shelter of him exclusively. Without association, he traveled all over the surface of the globe as a sannyasi, devoid of any relationship with fire or shelter. Purport. Here the words anagni, aniketana are very significant. A sannyasi should be completely detached from fire and any residential quarters. A grihastha has a relationship with fire, either for offering sacrifices or for cooking, but a sannyasi is freed from these two responsibilities. He does not have to cook or offer fire for sacrifice because he is always engaged in Krishna consciousness, semicolon. Therefore, he has already accomplished all ritualistic performances of religion. Aniketanaha means without lodging. He should not have his own house, but should depend completely on Supreme Lord for his food and lodging. He should travel. Paragraph. Mauna means silence. Unless one becomes silent, he cannot think completely about pastimes and activities of the Lord. It is not that because one is a fool and cannot speak nicely, he therefore takes the vow of Mauna. Rather, one becomes silent so that people will not disturb him. It is said by Chanakya Pandit that a rascal appears very intelligent as long as he does not speak. But speaking is the test. The so-called silence of a silent, impersonalist Swami indicates that he has nothing to say. He simply wants to beg. But the silence adopted by Cardamom, when he was not like that, he became silent for relief from nonsensical talk. One is called a Muni when he remains grave and does not talk nonsense. Maharaj Ambarish set a very good example. Whenever he spoke about the pastimes of the Lord. Mauna necessitates refraining from nonsensical talking and engaging the talking facility in the pastimes of the Lord. In this way, one can chant and hear about the Lord in order to perfect his life. Vratam means that one should take a vow, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. Amanitvam adambitvam. Without hankering for personal respect and without being proud of one's material position. Ahimsa means not being violent. There are 18 processes for attaining knowledge and perfection. And by his vow, Kardama Muni adopted all the principles of self-realization. He's setting an example, meaning Kardama Muni did this already. And while doing this already, as a younger man, he had already achieved the goal, or attainment of a heart that was fully pure and a connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Come on in. He had attained connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who became his son. And now he's doing it again. So he's doing to set an example. And it's a little mysterious. That is, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, was in his personal association. Now there's a previous section where Kardama requests permission from Kapila Dev to leave. And Kapila gives his blessings, gives some instructions as well. It's a principle of showing by example and being wary of undue attachment, although he was not at all inclined. See how he was living his life before and see how he's living his life even as a householder. See how he's living his life now. He's not inclined to enjoying objects of the senses. If one has come to the stage, as he has come to the stage, where one is no longer attracted to the objects of the senses, there are these two things. Again, it's still something of a mystery. But that person will set an example. It's something that, and then the other is to maintain caution even when it's beyond inclination for enjoying objects of the senses, enjoying the temporary. Now there's different expressions of protecting oneself from enjoyment of the temporary mentioned in the purport as Ambarish. At least during the stage of life when he was ruling as a king, he had, according to the Bhagavatam, not only opulence that rivaled Indra, the king of heaven, but it was equal to that of the opulence of Vaikuntha. And the opulence of Vaikuntha cannot be compared to the opulence of heaven. So he had such opulence and he was totally unattached. So even those that are totally unattached, there may be different approaches for maintaining that detachment, because there's always chance of falling prey. And so by his choosing, just like going back much earlier in the canto, when Brahma, his father, requested him to assist in creating Praja, he went to the forest obedient to his father, and he engaged in severe austerities and practices of the Ashtanga Yoga system, and his attraction for the personality of God, it deepened and deepened to the extent where in his heart was just this one thought. He wanted the personality God had as his son. So the Lord appeared and said, "Will do. I'll become your son." So, the point is, this protection against attachment doesn't drop. It may take different forms. And in his case, the order of sannyas was suited to him. He was showing by example, and he was maintaining, as is an exemplary person will do, caution against objects of the senses. Now, let's take a look at Bhaktisiddhanta, or take a look at Srila Prabhupada, who accepted the order of sannyas and it looked different than what Kapila is doing. But there's principles that are being spoken of. And so maunam is one of those principles. In his case, because he's in the forest, most likely he didn't speak anything because there wasn't anyone to speak to. But supposing one is in a situation where there is someone to speak to, then you don't remain mum or silent, but you do, as it was said here, what Maharaj Ambarish did. He spoke only the activities of the personality of Godhead. So that's the principle of maunam. And Prabhupada discusses the other term by term, that no fire doesn't mean that a sannyasi cannot perform Vedic sacrifices, or a sannyasi cannot cook. He wasn't dependent upon those things any more than this idea of a residence. Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada, in the order of sannyas, they accepted residential quarters. They didn't maintain a home. Like, say, in the headquarters of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Some of you may have been there. The Chaitanya Math in Mayapur. And there's a big boundary wall, and there's different things inside the boundary wall. One of those is a substantial building, two-story building, that was Bhaktisiddhanta's residence when he stayed. And he stayed up on the upper floor and was, you know, it wasn't a cave. It wasn't under a tree. But it wasn't a proprietary sense of this is my home either. It was facility for conducting his the affairs of his organization, the Gaudiya Math. So where facility was required, then it was accepted. Just like in Mayapur, some of you have been to Mayapur, there's what we commonly call Prabhupada's quarters. And to organize a worldwide organization from Prabhupada's quarters was like really simple. It's two little rooms. And one of the rooms was where he received guests. And then another little room was where there was a bed. And some pictures of Bhaktisiddhanta, etc. But really simple. That was it. Now in Bombay, Prabhupada's quarters was on the roof, not the roof, the top floor of one of the two towers, and it was far more expensive. Because Prabhupada said, Bombay is my office. Meaning that was where he was organizing the affairs of the society more so than Vrindavan is his home. You can look at his quarters in Vrindavan, which he planned. He planned the whole structure. And it has different rooms. Um, because that was his home. You know, Vrindavan was his home. And then Mayapur was his field of preaching. So for preaching, it was far more simple. It's not to say there weren't a lot of Bengali people who wanted to come and see him or get his association or whatever. But it was super simple. Anyway, he had residential quarters. And suited for the service that he was doing. But it's not a proprietary sense. Consciousness-wise, this is my home. And traveling, cardamom was constant. So these are just elements of the order of sannyas that he adopted or manifested, because that's what's appropriate for, you could say, that stage of life, or the ashram itself, for the sannyas, renounced order of life. The yadyad acharati shrestas tattad evi tarojana from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, whatever the shrestha, whatever the elevated persons do, by their acts, they set a standard, and common people will follow. Tatad evi tarojana. So it's Satya Yoga, and he's setting a standard. Say it again. He doesn't require to do this. He doesn't need to attain something. He's already there. But he's showing by example. And item by item by item. He's showing the world. The first word in the purport is vratam. Prabhupada highlights that also. Vratam means that one should take a vow, as explained in Bhagavad Gita and others, amanit vam adam vidvam. Where do those phrases come from? Amanit vam adam vidvam. Does anybody know? You know, so where? That's what it means. Where are they found? Huh? Which qualities? No.
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Chapter 13, text 8 through 12. Arjuna wants to know, what is knowledge? And these are the first two that are mentioned in Krishna's response. Items of knowledge. So Prabhupada is connecting items of knowledge with vratam, or vow, without hankering for personal respect, and without being proud of one's material position. So, there's a vow. So he requested permission from his son, knowing that his son was the personality of Godhead. So permission from the personality of Godhead to accept this position, this vow. And he was granted with blessings. As I mentioned, also some instruction. So, vratam. Whatever it was that he was doing, it wasn't for some aggrandizement or getting something, getting anything. It was self-purification, protection and self-purification, and showing example. So what about us? And, you know, we're not so elevated. But the principles specifically to this point here about vratam, without the intention of gaining something, without the intent to gain respect from others, or without the attempt to be filled with pride about one's material possessions, that's what Prabhupada is writing here. Now, material possessions are, in one sense, necessary, and on the other sense, there's a risk. And there's a risk if you don't have necessities. And there's a risk if you have necessities. So, better be cautious about even necessities, what to speak of beyond necessities. So, again, what about us? We're not at this stage, but the principles that he's demonstrating are beneficial for us. Certainly, at a certain stage of life, a more complete manifestation of this aman et vam adam bit vam, or humility and pridelessness. But knowledge can be there at any stage. Children and young adults and married families and older people. Knowledge is not for a certain age group of people or a certain ashram. It's only for the sannyas ashram. It's for everyone. So we go down the path of spiritual, attaining awakened state of spiritual consciousness, this is something we need to be aware of. Humility and pridelessness. Appropriate for our situation. Material possessions, we accept them. So a very simple standard is found in Sri Upanishad, Isavasham Idam Sarvam. We accept those things that are for our maintenance. We understand where they have come from. They come from Krishna. We're accepting them with gratitude. And we take what we require. And we don't take beyond what we require. And that gets to be like a fuzzy line. Like, what do you require? And should householders have something in case of emergency? Rupa Goswami taught, yes, something in case of emergency. But so, in practical terms, how householders should live their life is, our happiness is not in accumulation. Our happiness is living with simple means, with what Krishna has provided for practical purposes. Being conscious of the tendency to accumulate things can block the heart from the mission of life, block our intelligence and not see properly, become attached to the temporary, and then when the temporary is gone, be very sad. Misery. The temporary is gone. Real easy to get attached to the temporary. Real easy. And it's not so easy to be in contact with the temporary and not be attached. To utilize that in practical terms, Krishna service. And be fully aware it's a temporary arrangement and it's going to be gone after some time. And sure enough, it's gone after some time. And that's just fine. That becomes possible when the goal, that detachment, wholesome, engaging things in the spirit of detachment is possible if and only if, or to the degree that there is a very clear sense of what's the purpose of life, attaining the Supreme. when they're strong, then engaging in the temporary, in the spirit of detachment for practical purposes for service of the Supreme, that it just follows naturally. That's this knowledge. Knowledge causelessly awakens as bhakti awakens. Now, again, Kapila has already attained everything. So what's he doing this for? It's not to attain something. He's showing by example and maintaining his sense of being protected from such tendencies, attachment to the temporary, etc. So people live their lives for a different set of values than today. But he's showing by example. So let's see if there's some... Sorry for my voice, but what can I do? Any discussion? Questions? Yeah.
It looks like the objective is to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the means for that, as adopted by Karadma Muni, is a vow of silence, and Prabhupada is building another step for people like me to achieve that high level of stage. By making the vow of silence with linking it with only talking about the Supreme Lord. But in my practical experience, like it's a challenge to just only to talk about the Supreme Lord, and there are situations where I talk about mundane stuff. So still there is that gap. Even though the acharyas have been compassionate to give the steps, it proves to be a challenge. So the gap is there. How to bridge that gap?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives practical instructions, because like you, he was a householder. And what applies for a sannyasi and what applies for a householder looks different, but just because it looks different doesn't mean the principle changes. So there's I suggest you read what he has written in this regard, but I can say a few things. But you know, in different places he expands. For it's using a phrase that you used, talking about mundane stuff. Well, we accept those things that are favorable, we reject those things unfavorable, and let's say you're at your workplace. How are you supposed to only talk about the pastimes of Krishna in the workplace? You're fired. Because that's not what you're being hired for. And that stuff that you're talking about in the workplace, it's not to help people become more Krishna conscious. It's whatever the company is, that's not their motto. And you're a householder, you have to have some gainful employment. So what are you supposed to do to follow this principle, Mona? Because that's your question. Or in dealings with the members here. And it's somebody's birthday. Well, we don't talk about it. So somebody has a health issue, we don't talk about that because that's mundane stuff. The mandate is, in principle, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, cordialities are, it's part of the duty or the business of serving Krishna. And the the caution is to not get involved in Gramya Katha. Now, Gramya Katha is not the same as worldly stuff. It depends on the purpose for which you're having conversation. Now, so let's say in your home and then in the workplace, because in the home, the mood and mission of the members in your household is towards Krishna. And so, in your household, direct conversation, engage in conversation with the purpose of Krishna's service. And, you know, on the negative side, avoid things that Prabhupada would advise us to be cautious about. You know, all the stuff that's in newspapers. The violence and the politics and the other things that people, when they read newspapers, as is common in India. I mean, I was really surprised. Flying domestic flights in India, everybody's reading not just one paper, but five papers. In America, it's, you know, the gadgets with their phone and other devices. That's the violation of that principle. And then engaging, but, you know, so that you can function in the world, what's going on in the world to a modest degree for the purpose of serving Krishna, we need to know what's going on in the world, you know, as a householder, in practical terms. Let's just say, in Maharaj Ambarish's case, he was a householder, there was a drought in some part of his kingdom. So I don't talk, that's mundane stuff. It's his duty, so he became involved, and he did needful. So, like that, as a householder, and then in the family, outside the family, and then, you know, in the workplace, in the community, there has to be a degree of social sensitivity and social, being socially tuned in and socially, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Those small niceties, it's just part of a person that's, you know, warm. And personable. But, you know, it's for that purpose and doesn't go on and on and on and on and on. As some people socially do. The main thing is the consciousness behind speech, on that part. Anything else?
The detachment that's talked about in this verse, Kalpana, is detachment from sense objects. That detachment is there for every stage of life.
Yeah.
And he's setting an example. And the same kind of setting an example is for the purpose of future generations to follow.
Yes.
And similar responsibility is there for elders in the family, parents, or
yes.
So even if there are some examples, but so what actually inspires one to follow an example? And even
what inspires one to follow an example?
Yeah.
That's your question.
Yes. And what actually causes this detachment? Meaning, like, unless one knows the goal, they cannot become detached from the sense objects, because sense objects are all around me. Now, there's so many, for children, there's so many eatables, and you know, I just keep on eating and I don't care about my health and that thing.
You know, details can be very complex, so let's just stay with principles. Because I'm not well, my whole system isn't functioning properly. There are two parts. Say that just in flashpoint, what are the two parts of your question?
What inspires?
And what inspires? Okay. Our human nature, and maybe even, you know, a little bit of a competitive spirit, that is to say, I want to become better. But it doesn't have to be a mode of passion, competitive. It can be a mode of goodness. I'm here and I want, so, having role models, it's a common dynamic since time immemorial. We have persons that show by example, and there's power or potency within those persons that show by example. And so what inspires us is just our human nature. We see something that looks attractive or a wow, and there's a role model, and I model myself just by meditating upon that role model or that exemplary conduct or whatever it is towards that. Your question specifically is what is it that inspires following an example or something we value? Let's take something that may be common to everybody or most people, book distribution. The book distribution is not something that, you know, we wake up in the morning and think, gee, I wanna, or you're born and you think, I'm born to be a book distributor. It's something that we learn because it's something that we value, and then we find people that are really immersed in book distribution and we learn from them. Because something that we value. So that's an element within the question. That is, here's something that I value. It could work the opposite also. Here's a terrible example. I don't want to be like that. So I find a positive example. Here's one that's like this instead of like that. We're molding our lives according to, it's just a human, make ourselves better. Grow towards the light. It's a natural principle. That's what the Bhagavad Gita verse says. There's example setting people and there's following people. That's what following people follow, because that's what they do. It's their nature to follow. The other?
For the detachment to happen, one has to have a clear goal.
Well, there can be another kind of detachment where one doesn't have a clear goal. And my experience is goals take some time to evolve in their clarity. And even in the course of time as they evolve to take clarity, it becomes again fuzzy again. And then there has to be revisiting of the goal. You know, what does it mean? What you said 5 years ago, this is a long-term goal. The way you would describe it today might be very different than 5 years ago, although you may give it the same label. So there's an ongoing, all I'm saying here is an ongoing refinement or alignment with what the goal is. What is the goal? Short term, long term. And detachment, yes, there's artificial, but more complete form of detachment is, instead of happiness in the temporary, there's a higher happiness, a higher satisfaction. Yes.
I was just thinking like that.
Can you speak a little louder?
Yes. To set an example, I have to practice myself to develop these qualities, but does that require purity?
Does that require what?
Purity.
Well, what do you mean by your question?
To get to a
better quality, how can you get there without purity? Let's just say, supposing you're unclean, you're not clean. How can you manifest something that requires, that in its mature stage, it's clean? So, in short, just take the mode of goodness, and the more the mode of goodness is manifested, the more you'll find stability and sustainability in presenting some kind of a good quality, because otherwise it'll be unstable and come and go. So it's in degrees, in short. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. The way that I'm thinking is like, even though I'm trying to set an example, but if there is no purity inside, it doesn't really affect the other person, right? It doesn't really, nobody can be attracted to that quality.
Okay, agreed.
So how?
How? Bhakti. It's a cultivation, a sort of cultivation. The bhakti principle is Krishna should be pleased. And we have different reasons why we do things besides Krishna should be pleased. It's mixed. Purity moves towards the unmixed. And then the more that unmixed, the more potency. Purity is the force. But even if one isn't pure, I still should strive not only for purity, but, you know, living by proper standards, by proper conduct. And that in itself sets a standard. Here's a person over here. She knows she's not pure yet. She's trying to serve Krishna. She's very honest with herself and with others about what her position is, and she's very enthusiastically trying to serve Krishna to her capacity. That's an example. Besides, here's the perfect personality. Let's look at their example, not just one that's trying to become. Both have an example, setting capacity. Okay. Way in the back. And we'll end.
My question is, how do I know that I'm drifting towards somebody, like, since I'm in the initial stages of spirituality, I'm in learning states now. So how do I know that I'm drifting towards, like, since I'm doing my material activities on it, like taking the kids to the activities and other stuff on it. So how do I know that I am attaching to the material things rather than the moving forward in my spiritual path?
Well, put your hand in your bead bag and see what happens. We're mixed. And how to get to the unmixed, our primary means is through this purification from chanting and hearing. Shrindhatasa kata krishna punya shravana kirtana riddhyantakso yabhadrani. Same, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name, worshipping, our primary devotional practices assist us in purity. And the purpose of pleasing Krishna. So we have a mix. So the standard of how you can tell is, where does your attention go? You know, you become the observer of your mind. Not just when you put your hand in your bead bag, but when you're doing what, you know, you described, or you're, you know, similar to the question over here, the worldly affairs that are required. I'm a householder. I have a family. I want to look after my family. That's why I got involved in having a family. I want to be involved. So now how, there's a mix. How to measure, is this for the satisfaction of Krishna? You look at the activity and see how much mindfulness is there, and this, the purpose of this is to assist these souls who I'm in care of in their journey toward Krishna. That doesn't have to be obsessive and compulsive. It's just an orientation of life. And that orientation of life is best awakened through the chanting of the holy name. That's what the chanting of the holy name means. Please engage me in your service. So I'm a householder. I have wife and kids in a home. So let me do those activities for the pleasure of Krishna. Because it's my conditioning that, you know, this is important to me. So you do that which is important to you for the satisfaction of Krishna. How much attentiveness is the pleasure of Krishna in those activities that you're doing? Let's go to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You're not Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Your mix is different than his. He was a pure devotee. He had 10 children. He had social obligations, this and that. So each of those things that he did, the mindfulness of who it's for and why is it being done, what to speak of his writings, you know, giving those principles and understandings to the world. That his light was on. And ours is somewhere less than that. So that's this gold standard, you could say, for a householder. So how do you, so your question, how do I know? How mindful are you as you're doing those things? The temporary worldly things that life is made up of. We don't throw them away. We don't just do them with attachment. Not too much attachment, not too much aversion. In the mindful spirit of mindfulness of pleasing Krishna, or get going towards that position. One way of answering your question is, how do I know when I've eaten enough? When you're eating, you can just eat for gluttony purpose, or you can eat with, you know, this is Krishna prasadam, and I'm eating for the purpose of giving strength, and while I'm doing, giving strength to the body so I can go on serving Krishna. And then at a certain point, you know, the brake pedal is on, no? Okay? Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. My question is, when we want to follow someone, do we have to know each principle, why they are following and follow? Or due to respect and faith, can we blindly follow
someone? Well, not blindly. It's not necessary that you know A to Z about why something is being done. Let's just say cleanliness. There's degrees of understanding what is cleanliness and what's the purpose behind cleanliness. But if I, you know, I'm a child and I see my mother and father keeping things very clean, I follow because that's what we do in the house. There's benefit just by learning that habit, that practice of being clean. Or kirtan. The child may or may not, so, but it's beneficial. And then as the child grows, they'll understand more about what is cleanliness and why is it important and what is chanting and what's going on while we're chanting. Etc. Why is it important that I share my toys with other kids? Not just because, you know, I'll be reprimanded if I don't. I want to avoid pain, so I'll do. So, just by doing something because it's to be done, that's a mode of goodness principle. From that mode of goodness quality, transcendence can be understood, and more details about something can be understood. And so it grows as we spiritually evolve and mature. But there's benefit just by following. And you use the word blindly.
Yeah, not blindly, I mean
without knowledge.
And we have, yeah, without knowing why they are doing.
Yeah. It's beneficial. It's beneficial. Prabhupada ki jai.